And this coming Sunday, we start a brand new series called Spiritual Soul Food. And we've just felt like it's a time to really edify the body and teach them how to overcome adversity. So God's got some recipes on how to overcome adversity. So it'll be a fun series. We'll be going through that for about 8 weeks and so forth. So, you know, we're a part of the kingdom of God, and when we come, you know, to church on Wednesday nights and Sundays and whenever we're here, it's like we transition ourselves out of the world system and we enter into a brand new system. But you know what? Even when we're in the world, we're not of the world. We're a part of the kingdom of God, and we're a part of the body of Christ, and we're out there. It's almost like we're light. The Bible says that we are like light in a dark world. And so just remember that wherever you go, in whatever job you have, no matter how difficult it gets, that God uses you as being light and salt on this earth. And so I'm going to pray and just ask God to open up our hearts for what he would have him say through me tonight to you. So let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for what you're going to do in this place and in our hearts. We thank you that we are a part of the body of Christ, and we can be a part of your plan and purpose on this earth. And so I thank you, Lord, that you send your Holy Spirit to speak to each one of us tonight for what you want us individually to know and corporately to know as a body and as a church. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, this probably won't be a lengthy message, but it'll be a very, very important one. Tonight's message is called Teamwork, Edifying the Body. Does everybody have some notes? Did you all get your notes? Okay. So if you can pull those out, and then open your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're specifically going to look at a very familiar passage of Scripture that talks about equipping and edifying the body, which is what each and every single one of us is called to do. When we went through Corinthians, do you remember when in chapter 12 when Paul was saying about the body of Christ, that one member of the body of Christ couldn't say, we don't have need of this member of the body of Christ, or because I'm this member of the body of Christ, we don't need that. And even the head can't say to the foot, I have no need of you. And so every single one of us is important, and I just wanted us to grasp the reality of that tonight as we talk about edifying the body, because if we're not doing the work that God's called us specifically to do with the spiritual gifts that he's given us, there may be part of the body that goes unedified or not built up and becoming what it's supposed to be. And in turn, that there would be a weakness. There would be a weakness in the body. And God wants us all to play our part. When we took the spiritual gift assessment and survey, and we'll be talking more about that in the days to come, the thing that we need to realize is that those are spiritual endowments from the Holy Spirit that have been given to us to be able to help edify the body of Christ. And you're going to see that tonight as we read through the section here on Ephesians. But when we discover what our gifts are, and we know what they are, then literally we are equipped, or we can be equipped for the work of the ministry so that we can edify and build up the body of Christ. Knowing our spiritual gifts helps us also find our unique fit in the body. You know, the body is a certain shape. It takes on a certain shape and form, and we're a certain body part that makes the body function properly. And so when we know what our spiritual gift is, we know where we're supposed to fit and what we're supposed to do, and then we can be equipped for the things that God has prepared for us before the foundation of the world. You remember that scripture we read last Wednesday night, from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says that God prepared in advance the good works that each one of us is called to accomplish. He's prepared in advance good works that each one of us is called to accomplish. And those are good works that are done through the spiritual gifts that I believe that he has given to us. So in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 10, very familiar scripture to many of us, he starts off here talking about Jesus Christ ascending into heaven, and he's actually going to mention five spiritual gifts here, which I'll tell you exactly what they are. They're gifts that when Jesus ascended, he gave these offices or gifts to build up the body of Christ. So verse 10 says, "He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things." Verse 11, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man or a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in him in all things, who is the head, Christ." Verse 16, "And from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Now that's a lot of stuff right there about the whole body being a team, but it needs to edify itself. Or if you have your notes there, the word edify means to build up. It's where we get the word edifice, which means a building. Edify means to build up, but it also means this. It means to build up as in assembling something, as in the verb meaning that we are building something, we are assembling something, we're putting something together, or assembling or edifying meaning strengthening something that's already built. So it's a combination of the two things, that God is actually still assembling his body on the earth. Every time somebody gets saved and they become a believer, they begin to get discipled, and they get built into the body and become a part of the assembly or the called out ones so that they could be a part of the body and that they can play a certain part that God has called them to play. And then they find out what their spiritual gifts are and that they can go about then helping edify the body of Christ with everybody else. Now, God has given or called five ministry gifts in order to do a couple of things. First, to equip the saints. It says there in verse 12, "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ or the church." And so, what God has done here is, let's just use the word pastor tonight. Okay, God has given apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor. Let's just say the word pastor tonight, or the person who's the leader of the church at that moment. He's given me as a gift to you to equip you and to equip you to do something special, which is called the work of the ministry. Now, in the American church, many times we think, well, we hired the pastor to do the work of the ministry. But the scripture here says that God has given the pastor as a gift to the church to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And what the work of the ministry is, it says, is for the building up or the edifying of the body of Christ or the church. And so that's what we want to talk to you tonight about, is what does it mean to edify the body of Christ? What does it mean to edify the body of Christ? To understand just how to edify the church, we really need to understand what the word equip means, all right? So follow along with me in your notes here. Just want to make sure that we get all the blanks highlighted in here. Equipped, the word equipped literally means to mend or repair, as in like a net that is ripped, that needs to be mended or repaired. It also means to set, as in like set a broken bone. Anybody ever had a broken bone? When I was 12 years old, I was skiing, and I wiped out really bad, and I fractured the tibia of the front of my ankle there, and they had to set it, which means they had to like yank it out and put it back in the right place. Like super, super painful, all right? And this won't hurt you. This won't hurt very much. It just hurt for a very short time. But they yanked it out and put it back in. And so equipped means to set, as in a broken bone. In other words, we have to be set in the body of Christ. And sometimes we are yanked out of one spot and put into the right place. That's what the word, literally what the word equipped means. So sometimes when we're being equipped, it can be kind of painful because we're being transferred from like one area where we're not supposed to be at into an area that God wants us to be at. And it can be, let's just put it this way, it can be uncomfortable. Now, a lot of times we'll think of the word equip in terms of being trained or mentored. That's another definition, but that's really not what the accuracy of the meaning of this is for tonight, is to be trained or mentored. It means that because you will be trained or mentored or equipped like that. But literally, what this is getting at is that it means that we're being mended or knit together as one unit. We're being set together in the body as one unit, or as one assembly, or as one church, one local church. And so what God wants to get across to you is as you are equipped, you are being joined together in unity so that nothing can separate you from the love of Christ, or nothing can separate you from the body of Christ. And that has been, I believe, one of the devil's number one tactics. It's the oldest thing he's ever done. It's so old and so obvious that we wonder, well, why haven't we gotten that by now? And so what he'll do is he'll come in and he'll try to make a division in the body, or get you out of the place where God has called you to be, and he'll do it by any means that he can do it by. But I think the most frequent way that he does it, that the Bible talks about, is he gets you out of walking in love towards people, okay, so that you're easily offended, so that you will take that bait of the offense. That's why we showed, that's why we talked about that so often. So in order to stay unified, you have to learn how to walk in unconditional love and forgiveness. I mean, we've got to get that down. That's like the basics. If you're going to be a part of a church that is doing something for God, and if you're going to be a part of edifying the body, you have to learn how to walk in love and forgiveness. Otherwise, you will not walk together in unity. And when you walk in unity and you're joined together, it means that you are so totally connected to the church that you can walk together and carry out the mission that Jesus handed to the church when he ascended. When he ascended, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, and to win the lost. And so God literally joins us together like a net that is woven together, or like a body that is joined together joint to joint with ligaments and sinews and all that, and nothing can separate that. In fact, if we are walking in love, this is what somebody said one time, if we're walking in real love, Nothing can separate us from the love of God, right? So if you and I are walking in love, nothing can separate us. We will not be able to be separated, or nothing can come between us, because Christ is the thing that will hold us together. His love is like cement, or it's the glue that keeps us walking together in unity and in oneness, and which is so important because Jesus prayed in that famous prayer in John 17. Again, we talked about that last week. I pray that they might be one, or that they might walk in unity, that the world may know. Well, it's also important for us to walk in love and in unity so that we can edify one another. We can edify one another. So many times we are just looking to maybe God or the Word of God or a minister or the pastor to edify us, but literally the work of the ministry, which is to do the edifying, is to be done by the saints. So you're the edifiers. Turn to somebody and say, you are the edifier. Our edifying of the body of Christ, all right, unites us together in faith. That's what Ephesians says. Our edifying of the body of Christ, or the church, unites us together in faith, and it says here in verse 13, and in the knowledge of the Son of God. I believe that's the faith of God, the faith of the Son of God, and the knowledge of the Son of God. We come together in unity around those two things, and so we get a revelation of what Jesus looks like. I mean, his character and his nature, by edifying each other. And when that happens, look what it says here in 13. Then we come to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature or a perfect man. One that is effective and can accomplish. It's grown up. It can do the things that it is created to do. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, this is God's dream for us as a church, to edify one another so that we can walk through this earth and in our communities and in this local church and reveal the fullness of the body of Christ. Not just part, but literally the fullness of Christ. All right, and so that is where we're headed. That is our goal. That is where we're going. So literally, it is to the measure or to the standard of the fullness of Christ that our edification is supposed to take place. We are to build one another up. We are to build one another up to the place where that nothing can separate us from each other. We are to literally become the fullness of the body of Christ in the earth, so that when people see us, they see Jesus in and among us. Not just in us as an individual, but in us as a body. And so we build up one another by speaking the truth in love. And Paul lists 15 things. Pastor Lori, a couple weeks ago, when she talked about 1 Corinthians 13, she talked about the 15 things that Paul mentions that love does. Okay, love does these 15 things. And what love does, when we speak the truth in love, it causes such edification of the body of Christ and the church that it grows more and more like Christ every day when we speak the truth in love. Now, a lot of times when I hear somebody say, well, I'm going to speak the truth in love, it's like, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to love you, but I'm going to tell you something that you don't want to hear. Does that ever come across to you that way? Well, literally, I believe that speaking the truth in love is something that we will want to hear because it will edify us. It will build us up. It will cause us to become more and more like Christ. So when it says speak the truth in love, it will cause us to be built up or built together as a church, as a body. Now, speaking the truth in love causes the whole church to be joined and knit together by what every joint or what every member supplies. How many of you are a member of the church? You have something to supply to one another. And whatever that supply is, it comes from the supernatural endowments that God has given you through the spiritual gifts that you have. So verse 16, if you want to look there again, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. See, every single one of us is like a body part, right? Well, literally, what he's saying there is every single one of us is a joint. We're a body part. So he could literally say, by what every body part supplies. So it's not that there are some body parts that are important and some that are not. Every body part, every part of the body of Christ supplies something. According to the effective working by which every part, everybody say every part, does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, it didn't say that the Holy Spirit was going to edify it. It didn't say Jesus was going to edify the body. It didn't say the pastors were going to edify the body. It said that every member was going to edify the body. So that's our responsibility as members, is to be the ones that do the edifying or the building up of the church. And so the Holy Spirit will help us by giving us supernatural gifts and abilities in order to do that. But the church is the members of the church are what are the people that are called to do that. And the reason is because each member has a part to play. In other words, you have a part to play that nobody else can play. Turn to somebody and say, you have a part to play, and without you, I won't be edified. Now, when each part, and when I say part, I'm talking about person. When each part is using the gifts that God has given them, you're a body part, okay? Whatever that part is, that's what that spiritual gift assessment was to try to help you. When each part is using their spiritual gift that God has given them and using it in love, everybody say love. Okay, because that's very, very important. You can't edify without walking in love. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. So we use our spiritual gifts by walking in love, and then that edifies the body of Christ, and it helps the other parts to grow. It helps the other parts to become what God has called them to be, so that the whole body then is continually being built up and demonstrating the unconditional love of Christ to the world and to one another. Now, the question I have for you tonight, and it's in your notes, is, so what is the work of the ministry? What is the work of the ministry? If you look, it's back in Ephesians. You can find it right there. What is the work of the ministry? The pastors are given for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, which is for the edifying of the body of Christ. We are called to build up the body of Christ. Now, who does the work of the ministry? The body parts. Yes. The body parts do the work of the ministry. The believers, the saints, do the work of the ministry. And how they do that is by being equipped by their pastor or a prophet or apostle, whatever fivefold ministry gift is God's using at the time to equip the saints They were being equipped for the work of the ministry, which is to edify the body of Christ, to build it up. And so when we talk about teamwork, teamwork isn't just some principles of, you know, getting along or understanding each other. Those are, you know, there's some important things that we can, practical things that we'll learn there. But learning how to supernaturally edify each other with the gifts that we have causes the Holy Spirit then to reveal Jesus Christ through his church. And we then, by being equipped to edify the, by being edified as the body of Christ, we literally, through love, fulfill the mission of Christ on the earth. That's why we'll be able to go into our community. We'll be able to reach out. We'll have these events where people come in, and we will love them, and we will embrace them, and we will be Jesus Christ to them. And that's why we need to equip each other and edify one another so that we can do that. Now, in order to really be effective, each body part needs to do its share, which means that everybody has a part to play. Everybody has to do their share, okay? Maybe in your house, you grew up and your parents would say, you know, you have to do your part, you have to do the chores, right? And you don't get to go out and play until you've made your bed or you've taken out the garbage. But everybody has a part to play, and this is the work of the ministry. It's the work of service that the Bible calls it. It's the work of service, which is edifying or building up. 1 Peter 4:10. Look at that. I think it's in your notes there. 1 Peter 4:10 from the New Living Translation says, "And God has given each of you a gift. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts." And that's what we're learning about when we took our assessment. And we're going to talk more about that in the weeks to come, about those assessments. We'll be talking to you personally about some of those gift assessments and where you fit or where you get knit together in the body so that you can do some edifying, so that you can do some do your share of the work of service. And so he says, use them well to serve one another. Use them well. What does that mean? That means that we got to know what they are, number one, and then number two, we get equipped or we get put into the body and we learn how to use that specific spiritual gift, not just to get something done, but to get the most important thing done, which is building up the church, building up the body of Christ. Now, no matter what part of the body you are, and you've been given at least one gift, some of you have been given more than one gift, some may have two or three, or maybe even four, but you've got at least one or two that are really, really strong that you land on, and that really God has called you to use in order to edify the body of Christ. So you've been at least given one spiritual gift or supernatural endowment from God that God says to use to build up the church by serving. Okay, and that's what it says here in 1 Peter. We use our spiritual gift and we use them well to serve one another. Serve one another. So in your notes, one of the ways we build up the church is by serving each other. And the reason we did the spiritual gift assessment is instead of just saying, well, just everybody go around and serve each other or we need a volunteer to serve over here, is we want you to, it says that you've been given a spiritual gift to serve one another. Use that gift to serve that other person. There are gifts that I don't have, and I always joke about the musical gift. If I would lead worship, I wouldn't be serving you well, all right? That's just if I did Like, there's my daughter has the gift of baking. She's got a spiritual gift of baking, and she uses it, is it well to serve me. In fact, I get built up by her using her spiritual gift of baking. But if I used that spiritual gift, it would not serve you well. It would not build you up. All right? It would do something else. All right, turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. And I want to give you five ways that we can build up the church. Five ways from Philippians chapter 2 that we can build up the church. And Paul writes to the Philippians here. And he's trying to help them by giving them a model of how Jesus Christ built up the church. Literally saying that he is our example. So if you're in Philippians chapter 2, I'm going to read out of the New International Version. And here's what he says. I'm just going to read through the whole thing, and then we'll back up, and we'll go through each one of these one by one. Verse 2, then make my joy complete. You know, remember how when we went through this book of 1 Corinthians, how it was like Paul's burden, that first of all, that they were so whacked out, so mixed up, you know, so flaky, so out there with their doctrine and everything. But the thing that really, really depressed him, anybody remember the thing that really depressed Paul about Corinthians, the church in Corinth? Does anybody remember? Yes, the divisions, the divisiveness, all right, the disunity among one another. Because when it's one thing to have some sin that is in the church that hurts the church or discredits the church, or there's people in the church that are sin. But when the church is divided, you're not even focused on the mission. You're not even caring about what God's called you to do as a church. And so he says here, make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only on your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself, listen to this, it says, made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. All right, well, we're going to finish up by looking at these five things here on how we can build up or edify the body of Christ by looking at Jesus Christ as being our example. Paul says here in verse 2, be like-minded. Be like-minded. It's like have an understanding of one another and be in agreement together over the fact that this is our mission. This is what we're called to do. Don't come with an agenda of, well, this is the way I want to have it or this is the way I want to do things, but let's be like-minded where we can walk together in agreement over what we're called to do and how we're called to do it together. Having the same love one towards another, okay? Walking in love, being one in spirit and in purpose. So have the same mind, have the same thoughts, think about the same things and have the same love. Be one in one spirit and purpose. I would say this, when you come together, have the same philosophy of ministry. When we went through the School of Ministry 101, we talked a lot about how to know your pastor's heart, how to know what we're called to do and how to follow the mission and the vision of the church. Well, when we come together, be of one mind and have a one vision. So we're not scattered in all. We all have, oh, well, I wish we could do this or this or this. We need to be focused on one mission. All right, number two, the second thing he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. The Amplified says it this way. Do nothing from factional motives. See, that's what happens when we have selfish ambition. We become divisive. And we'll separate because we have our own ambitions and we're not watching out for helping edify the body of Christ because we want us to be edified. So it's like when we come to church, it's like, oh, we come to be fed instead of coming to help others be fed. Or we come to be served instead of coming to serve. I always like to say when church is over, that's when the service begins. Because that's when we go out and we actually are then equipped to go out and do the serving. So the service doesn't start at 10 o'clock. The service starts after the edification part is over. Then we actually go serve. But come with that attitude that we're not going to have factional motives or through contentiousness and strife or selfishness for unworthy ends. We're not prompted by conceit or empty arrogance. We're not prompted by conceit or empty arrogance. In other words, I would say it this way. Don't do anything because it's about you. That's what Paul is saying here. Is don't do something. You can't edify the body of Christ if it's going to be all about you. In other words, if you're going to edify the body of Christ and really be a team player, it's got to be all about the team. You've got to be a team player because it's not about you. Put the mission of the church above the ambition that you may have. This is the thing that Pastor Lori and I have learned, and we've practiced it for a long time. We've learned it through Bible school, is that when all you do is put yourself in a place of service, God can promote faster than you can by trying to network and do all these other things. God can just promote immediately. He can provide and promote. But make it all about God's vision and what he wants. And then it says, don't do anything motivated to get attention and praise. Now, that's a tough one because we like to be recognized many times for what we do, don't we? And Paul says, don't do that because ultimately what will happen is you'll be doing something for attention and not for the edification of the body. All right, look at the next one, number three. In humility, consider others better than yourselves. Now, that doesn't, he says, in humility. That doesn't mean that you don't think of yourself as worse. Humility isn't thinking of yourself worse than another person. Humility is not thinking of yourself at all. All right? But think of others as more important than yourself, that their needs are what you've come to meet, to build them up and edify them. Number four, look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. In other words, be more aware of the needs of others instead of telling others what your needs are. Because that's the way the kingdom of God works. When we come and we actually are about helping the needs of others, it's like God then meets our needs through us serving other people. It's supernatural. It's an upside-down kingdom. And that's why Jesus says, I've not come to be served, but I've come to serve and give my life as a ransom. So put other people first. This is how we edify. This is all about how we edify the body of Christ, by putting other people first. Number five, this is the last one. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. He made himself nothing. And he took the very nature of a servant. In other words, he emptied himself of his divine privileges. And when it says that he became nothing, it was because when he came to this earth, he was God. And he left all of that, all of his divine privileges, not the anointing or not the Holy Spirit, but all of his divine privileges that he had, he left them aside in order to say, I'm going to come and be the one that washes the feet, be the one that serves others, the one that thinks about other person's needs before my own. So he came and became nothing. It's not that he is nothing, because he's God, all right? But he became nothing in the sense of being more important than anybody else. It's like he became, he made himself invisible. Instead of walking around going, hey, look at me. Look at what I'm doing. Hey, come on, guys, let me go show you a miracle. Gather everybody around so I can, get some attention. No, he made himself, like, invisible. And there were a lot of times when he would tell people, he would do a miracle, and he would say, what? Don't go tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. So he made himself, like, as if he was just a servant, and it was not about him. And he came, and that was the example that Paul said that we are to follow if we're going to edify the body of Christ. And then the last one here, it says, and he made himself a servant to everyone. He made himself a servant to everyone. Now, to actually do this, we cannot do it in the power of our own strength. We cannot do it in the power of our own flesh. We have to have the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us that comes and actually helps serve those that are in need. Put other people first. Know what their needs are. Have an understanding heart. And really pray and say, God, help use me to build up the body of Christ. And so what I'd like to do tonight is pray with you. And I've asked Pastor Lori to come and minister this song. And then we're going to pray and just ask the Holy Spirit to change our lives so that we can go to a whole new level in being edifiers of one another. And then I think we'll take a minute or two and just do a little edifying and just encourage one another. You ready, Lori? Thank you.
Really believe, Lord, tonight that these words would be a